الله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. 846 Things for which it is necessary to perform wudu, or what is called in Arabic غايات الوضوء. الوضوء by itself, as we call, is or طهارت in religious purification, or to be pure, is necessary for what purposes? Why someone should take wudu? So there are many things which necessitate the person should have wudu. It is obligatory to perform wudu for the following six things. One, for all obligatory prayers, except prayers for a dead body. As regards recommended prayers, wudu is a condition for their validity. Well, for obligatory prayer, like daily prayers or prayer of ayat and similar things, naturally the prayer is not valid without wudu. Of course, better than saying wudu is taharat, because maybe valid with tayammum or with ghusl. But what is meant wudu here, that in case the things are needed only wudu, not ghusl and tayammum, though ghusl and tayammum are the same, like wudu. As I said, what the best term is taharat, or purifying the body is necessary for all obligatory prayers, except Salat al-Janazah, prayer for a dead man. Salat al-Janazah not necessary, but one should have wudu. Even without taharat, he can perform Janazah prayer. About recommended prayers, of course wudu is obligatory for them, but since they are mustahab prayer, so the wudu is mustahab, not wajib, because the namaz itself is mustahab, like nafilah or any other recommended prayer, mustahab, sunnah prayer. So wudu is a necessity for validity of recommended prayers as well. Second, for those sajda and tashahud which a person forgot to perform, in case he performed an act between the end of prayer and the performance of those sajdas and tashahud which makes wudu void. For example, if he urinated during that time, it is not, however, necessary to perform wudu for sajda al-sahu. Probably what he means, there are qada of some part of their prayer. For example, if somebody forget one sajda, he did one sajda, one sujood, not two sujood, and why he did one and he forget one. Later on he realized, and after tashahud or after standing for example, the second or third rak'at, later on, he realized that sujood in the first rak'at, for example, was only one instead of two. Here, of course, the prayer is valid, because only if there is rukun, then prayer is invalid. Otherwise, two sajdas are rukun. If one sajda is missed, it is okay. So now he has to make of qada after prayer, he has to make qada of that sajda. After finishing salam, he go for sujood, he do one sajda, and then he bring sujdatay sahu. So for these things, it is necessary for one to have wudu as well. But he said here, for to perform sujdatay sahu, wudu is not obligatory according to late Ayatollah al-Khoi. But according to others, it is ihtiyat. For sajda al-sahw, the person has to be on wudu. هي بل وسجدة يساو أيضا على الأحواض ورحتيان according to Ayatollah Gulbaygani so even for سجدة يساو وضوء is necessary. Now we come to third for the obligatory طواف of the Holy Kaaba when we go for Hajj or for Umrah and when we perform طواف around Kaaba then it is obligatory for one to be on Tahara to perform wudu or ghusl or tayammum according to his ahkam at that moment so it is necessary to be on Tahara. For if a person has vowed or pledged his word or sworn to perform wudu it's a wajib bin nadr if he has nadr or an oath to perform wudu nadr which is oath in maturity if he has an oath to perform wudu for any good cause then it becomes wajib type when a person has vowed that he would touch the writing of the Holy Quran with a part of his body of course we are not allowed to touch the Holy Quran touch all the writings even the vowels and shadda and kasra and dhamma and any part of the writings of the Holy Quran we are not allowed to touch it unless we are on taharat so for touching the writings of the Holy Quran not the cover or the paper but the writing itself one needs to be on taharat to have performed wudu six to wash and purify the Holy Quran which has become impure or to take it out of a latrine etc. in which it has fallen when he is obliged to touch the writing of the Holy Quran with his hand or some other part of his body to accomplish these acts in case however the secretion of the Holy Quran takes place due to the delay caused by performing wudu one should take out the Holy Quran from latrine etc. or wash and purify it in case it has become impure without performing wudu you know it is wajib to keep the Holy Quran tahir in case a child for example took a piece of paper which has Holy Quran or small copy of Holy Quran and throw it in a place which is najis in a latrine or somewhere or in a water which is najis or somewhere there is wine alcohol and throw it there and becomes najis now it is wajib for everyone who knows to hurry and wash it with water and clean it and make a tahir now we say for such case surely one has to touch the Holy Quran it is necessary for one to be on taharat have wudu but in case he thinks that if he goes and perform wudu and come back that 5 minutes gap is a long time and there will be decay and destruction of the paper and of the writing of the Holy Quran with najasat there is more insult to the Holy Quran so in this case as an exception it is lawful for him to take the Holy Quran out of dirt and clean it even if he is not performing wudu it is unlawful to touch the writing of the Holy Quran with any part of one's body without performing wudu however there is no harm in touching without performing wudu translation of the Holy Quran in any language whatsoever yes you say that Holy Quran if it is touched the Holy Quran in Arabic if it is touched then one has to be on taharat as the Quran says لا يمسه إلا المطهرون no one will touch the Holy Quran except the purified ones so it is necessary for that about translation of the Holy Quran, is it regarded the same like the Holy Quran? Well, here it says no, the translation is not the same like the Holy Quran, only the Arabic script of the Holy Quran. It is unlawful on the basis of obligatory precaution to touch without performing wudu the name of Allah or His special attributes in whichever language they may have been written. And it is also proper not to touch without performing wudu the names of the Holy Prophet of Islam, the Holy Imams, and Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullahi alayha. Well, what is added to the Holy Quran, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His special attributes, Sifatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it is written in any book, so names of Allah, we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, somewhere if it comes in the book, then it is not allowed to touch it. And here it is added names of the Holy Prophets and the Holy Imams and Fatima al-Zahra Salamullahi alayha, names of Ma'sumin. Of course, according to Ayatollah Kulbaygani, say Ta'ammul wa Ihtiyat. It is for Ihtiyat, not Fatwa. As recommended precaution, one should not touch name of the Prophets and Imams. Performance of wudu has been recommended for the accomplishment of the following acts. Of course, here wudu, we can divide it into sometimes where the wudu is wajib itself or as it is a condition for perfection and acceptance of the thing. It's like, as we said, the prayer, where wudu is wajib, the prayer is without. Wudu is not wajib, even recommended prayer, and even the forbidden part of the prayer. Even sujdat-i-saw, according to ihtiyat of Ayatollah Gulfaygani, and tawaf, which is part of Hajj or Umrah, even if it is recommended Hajj, not wajib Hajj or not wajib Umrah. For tawaf, someone has to be on wudu. The other part or other subdivision is when it is necessary for allowing somebody to touch the Holy Quran, then one has to be on wudu. And the Holy Quran means there is no difference between ayahs of Quran or the words of the Quran or letters of the Quran or even the vowels of mad and shad and i'rab and other things. And we add to it names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His special attributes, and added to it as ihtiyat names of the Holy Prophets and Imams alayhim as-salam. And the third type, wudu, is the third subdivision. Wudu is needed for removing karaha. In some cases it is makruh to be without wudu, like eating food or walking at time of janabat. If somebody has janabat, it is makruh for him to eat, and to remove that karahat, he can perform wudu, so that makruh is removed. So that is other subdivision. Now we come here, he discussed first about obligatory act. He comes here, the second subdivision, he said performance of wudu is recommended. These are the places where it is recommended. First, prayers for a dead body, Salatul Mayyit or Salatul Janazah, as we said, it's not wajib to be on wudu, but it is recommended, mustahab. Two, visiting the graves of those who have departed. When you go to graveyard, one, it is mustahab to be on wudu and taharat. Re-entry into a masjid, they enter any masjid, it is mustahab to be on wudu and tahara. For entry into the shrines of the holy prophets and imams alayhum salam. Well, of course wudu is mustahab, but if somebody has to have ghusl, then it is not allowed to come near the grave of the imam alayhum salam. And then one has to be on taharat from ghusl, or what to say, from hadith al-akbar. Of course if we are not on janabat, you can go, but wudu is mustahab. Without wudu he can go to visit the holy shrines of the prophet or imams alayhum salam. But in case he has janabat, or in case the woman is on her period, she is not allowed to enter near the grave of the imam inside haram. Well, outside rawat is okay, but inside haram is not allowed. Time to read, write, or touch the margin of the Holy Quran, or to keep it with oneself. We say to touch the writing of the Quran, one has to take wudu. But now the boundary of Quran, the paper itself, or reading Quran, or writing Quran without touching it, here is wudu is mustahab, not wajib. Even to carry Quran with yourself, it is mustahab to be on wudu. Six, while going to bed, before sleeping at night, it is mustahab to have wudu before sleeping. This is recommended, and there are so many riwayat mentions that it is very much recommended. If wudu is performed for accomplishing any one of these acts, it suffices for the accomplishment of other acts also. For example, prayers can also be offered with that wudu. Furthermore, if a person has already performed wudu, its performance for the second time is recommended for him. Here, he added to six, number seven at the end, furthermore, that if somebody has taken wudu for one prayer, it is recommended to perform wudu for the second prayer. You make wudu for Dhuhr and Asr, for example, it is recommended for Maghrib and Isha, he perform wudu again. About the meaning of the first section, you see, wudu make a person on taharat in general, not in particular. What does it mean? If you make wudu, let us say to read Quran, and then Zohr prayer came. Now is that wudu for reading Quran still valid to offer a prayer, or that wudu was mustahab and you need a new wudu for the prayer which is wajib? Well, what is meant is it makes no difference. If your wudu is right with intention and it is qurbatan Allah Ta'ala, so that wudu which is right, you can offer a prayer, wajib prayer or mustahab prayer, and you can do all the mustahabat for whatever purpose, for ziyarat or for touching the Quran or for reading Quran or for whatever other purpose. It is not necessary that if you take wudu for one purpose, to take wudu, to perform wudu for another purpose. No, it is not necessary. If you perform wudu once, properly, means proper intention is there. Sometimes one may do wudu without any intention. Naturally that wudu is not valid. But if you have intention, it wudu qurbatan Allah Ta'ala for certain purpose, to offer Dhuhr and Asr prayer, and later on you want to read Quran, do you need to take a new wudu, perform a new wudu for Quran? No. The same wudu of wajib is useful for mustahab, or wudu performed for any mustahab, also you can offer wajib prayer or wajib tawaf or whatever things needed. things which nullify wudu. نواقض الوضوء or موجبات الوضوء. نواقض means things which nullify the wudu. موجبات things which necessitate to take wudu again. The wudu becomes void on account of the following seven things. Urine means coming out of urine, feces or coming out of feces from the body. 3, the wind of the stomach or intestine which comes out of the bottom. The stomach doesn't mean eructation. And this eructation will not nullify wudu. The only thing, the wind which comes out from the bottom. It nullifies wudu. 4, sleep due to which the eyes cannot see and the ears cannot hear. However, if the eyes cannot see anything but the ear can hear something, the wudu does not become void. Now sleep, if while it's complete sleep, no doubt it will nullify wudu. But if someone is resting and he's just lying on bed without going into deep or real sleep, his eye is closed but still he is hearing voices and hearing the people are talking around him, he won't just rest for 5 minutes, for example. Still he has not gone into real sleep, but while his eyes are closed, still he has some control of his senses that he feel around him and he hears the voices. Do you call him that this man has slept? He says no. Unless we go into real sleep, which is characterized that the eye will not see and the ear will not hear anything. So if somebody may be in the car or that, he gets little lazy and he closes his eye without going into real sleep, that will not nullify wudu unless he goes into deep sleep, which his ears will not hear and he will not feel anything around him. That is the sleep which nullifies wudu. 5 things which deprive a human being of reason, for example, insanity, intoxication, or unconsciousness. Well, somebody who will become unconscious or out of reason. Out of reason means if he goes mad. For those who have a recurrent type of schizophrenia, for example, and if they got schizophrenic, means they become mad. Now their wudu is nullified. If they got their health back again after 1 hour, 2 hours, or after 3 days, then they have to perform wudu again. Also, if he is intoxicated due to any medicine, and also if he got unconscious due to anesthesia, for example, if he went to operation theater and he got general anesthesia where he becomes unconscious, or if he fell down due to any reason and becomes unconscious. So, like sleep, which will nullify wudu, the intoxication, insanity, and being unconscious will nullify wudu as well. 6, the blood which comes out of the body of women and is called istihava. What do you know? Istihava is a term used for any blood which is neither a blood of menses nor blood of injury. Any extra blood which comes is called istihaba. This istihaba will nullify wudu. And there are details about istihada which will come in the future. But in short, it is either istihada qalila, a small amount of blood coming, or medium, or huge amount of blood is coming. And each one has different issues in fiqh. But coming out of blood will nullify with the seventh ceremonial uncleanliness, or what we call it janabah. And on the basis of recommended precaution, everything for which ceremonial bath is necessary. If one becomes on janabah or maybe hayd, like menstruation or other things in which ceremonial bath is necessary as recommended precaution, all these will nullify wudu. We come to orders regarding jabira wudu. Jabira is when part of the body is covered due to some sickness or injury or wound or whatever it is, and you cannot take it out. So there is a foreign body on the skin at the place of wudu, and you cannot take it out. So here we call it jabira. The thing with which a wound or a fractured bone is bandaged, and the medicine which is applied to a wound is called jabira. Of course, jabira, maybe the bandage is the best
constitution.
Any plaster you put for the wound, any dressing, any bandage, plaster, dressing, anything you put for the wound or for fracture, which should not be taken out, is called here jabira. Now, what to do if there is jabira for wudu? The details are as follows. If there is a wound or sore or a fractured bone at the spot on which wudu is performed and its mouth is open and water is not harmful for it, one should perform wudu in the usual manner. Its mouth is open means the wound is open wound, not a closed one. But now if you remove the plaster or whatever dressing is above the wound, and you wash it with water, the water is not harmful to it, will not affect it. So he said in this case you don't need to use jabira, and you have to perform wudu on the usual way, because there is no harm if you wash the wound itself. Now in case, however, there is a wound or sore on one's face or hands, or a bone thereof is fractured and water is harmful for it, one should wash the space adjoining the wound from above and downwards in the manner explained in connection with wudu, and it is better to draw wet hand on it in case it is not harmful to do so, and then to place a pure piece of cloth on it and to draw wet hand on that cloth. That is meant. Now if there is wound, it's a safe. If you can remove the dressing above the wound and you wash it, then it has to be washed. Now, if you cannot wash it, the water is harmful, it will increase the sickness, and it should remain dressed, unwashed. So what you will do, you will wash at time of wudu. If it is on the hand, you will wash above the injury, and around and below the injury, you will wash it as usual of washing in wudu. And then the place where the jabira is there, you will do only masah. Not washing, but only masah. Just one time you place your hand above it, and that is all. So wherever jabira is, in face, or in hand, or in arm, wherever it is, So if there is somewhere plaster, you wash above, around, and below it, and you do masih one times above it, that is sufficient. In the case of fractured bone, however, it is necessary that tayammum should be performed. If there is a fractured bone and the hand is covered with plaster of Paris, as you call it, with jabira, then here, according to Ayatollah Khoi, ihtiyat, that tayammum should be done. Now, one more thing here. He said, if the wound is open, there is no jabira above it, no dressing above it, and the only thing, you are not allowed to wash it because water is harmful. So neither there is jabira to do masih above it, nor the water is allowed. So what we do? He said, you will wash around it, and for ihtiyat, you put some piece of a cloth above it, and you do masih on that piece of a cloth, because here you cannot wash it, and there is no jabira, no dressing to do masih. So you have to put a dressing and do masih above the dressing itself. If a person has a jabira on the palm of his hand and fingers, and he draws wet hand on it while performing wudu, he should also perform the wiping of his hand and feet with the same wetness. Now, if the jabira is on the hand, now he has to do masih with his hand. So he says, if he can wash it, it is allowed to wash and becomes wet, so you can perform masih above that jabira. If a person has got open a vein of one of the parts of the body on which wudu is to be performed, and he cannot apply water to that part, or water is harmful for him, it is necessary for him to perform tayammum. If he had made an explanation about open vein, and it's open injury, and the vein is open, here is not, the condition is not of jabira, but the condition becomes changed from wudu into tayammum. In all kinds of ceremonial bath, except the bath of a dead body, the jabira bath is like jabira wudu. However, in such cases, one should resort to sequence bath, ghusl tartibi. Now, if he has to perform ghusl, not wudu, and he has a wound with jabira, what he should do? Now, the answer is that he will do ghusl of jabira as well. He wash all parts of the body, and the place which is plaster, or there is dressing or bandage above it, he has to do masih above it. So ghusl and wudu is the same in jabira. In case the eyes of a person are ailing, and consequently he has to keep his eyelashes shut, he should perform tayammum. Now, for those who have trachoma or some ailment in their eye, and his eye has to be closed, and the water will be harmful for the eye, in this case, they don't say that you put Jabira and do Jabira. You say no, it will change into Tayammum. If a person does not know whether his legal obligation is Tayammum or Jabira wudu, the obligatory precaution is this, that he should perform both of them. Well, sometimes it's difficult to judge whether he has to do Jabira wudu or he has to perform Tayammum. So he has said, well, his duty is to make Jabira wudu and then do Tayammum after that. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Any question? Yeah, well, in Ahkam it is not allowed to give Quran to non-Muslim for the fear that he will insult Quran or will not look after it or will throw it in a dirty places. And it is allowed only if you think that you will not insult Quran or tear Quran or throw it away, and you have a great hope that he will be guided to the right path by reading Quran, so in that case it is allowed. And if he is non-Arab, it is better to give him English copy of Quran rather than Arabic one. So the English translation do not have the same respect as is mentioned as Arabic one. Yes. So now if you feel that you want to take name of the Holy Prophet and insult it, that fear is there, is not allowed. But if there is no fear for that and we think that he might be guided to the right path, he will not insult names of Imams alayhi wasalam, then it is okay, it's allowed to do. And especially if it is an English translation or other translation than Arabic, it is okay. Yeah, well, here, if he's operated for one eye, then he has to perform Jabira above that, because here there is a wound, not ailment, not sickness. If there is a wound, it differs. But for Ihtiyat, as I said, because it is a doubtful, he has to take wudu with Jabira and Tayammum. To remain open?
After the operation, they get rest operation. The doctors tell the patient not to bed at all. So how is the massage of the leg?
Well, even while sleeping, you can do massage. There is need to bend. You can stand and raise his foot and do massage. He doesn't need to bend. Not necessary to bend. You can do while standing, you can do while sitting, and you don't need to bend his head. You can raise his leg and do massage. And while sitting, you can raise his leg and do massage. It is recommended while reading Quran. I did not get your
question.
Yeah, if you are in period, it's not haram to read Quran except Surah Al-Azaim, the four surahs which had wajib sujda, then all the surahs should not be read. Otherwise, it is allowed. Makruh, but it is allowed. You know, for Jabira, in short, Jabira is there when there is wound or there is an ailment, like, let's say, the skin is sore in it, or eczema or something, an ailment, again due to some sickness, or if there is a fracture, according to Abdullah ibn Baydani, but if there is no wound and no sore skin and no fracture, but still the water is harmful to the body for any other reason, then at that case will be no jabira, will be only tayammum. So jabira when there is a wound and you are covering the wound, when there is, let us say, a sore area due to burn or due to something else other than an injury, and then the water is harmful. Or according to Atullah al-Baghani, if there is a fracture, then again one can do jabira. But without this, if the water is harmful, then there will be tayammum, not jabira. No, it is said for ma'asumin alayhi wasalam only. Only for ma'asumin, that one should not go without tahara, and wudu is mustahab. Of course, wudu always is mustahab. To be always on wudu, that is recommended. Day and night, you know, night I mean before sleep, and daytime, any time in the one is awake in the morning, he takes wudu, and whenever he performs something which nullify wudu, he should take wudu. That is mustahab always. But particularly if one is not tahir due to janabat or period, then going to the ma'asumin's shrine is not jaiz. Near the grave, around in Sahan and around is okay, but near the qabr, near the grave, is not allowed. But for non-ma'asum, it is okay. No, nothing. Something by mistake, Allah will not question the human being for mistakes. Question for whatever done intentionally, for mistake is not a question. So nothing specific. Except to remove, to take up Quran and put it respectfully in its own place. Now, if someone has to perform tayammum and still there is some jabira, some plaster or dressing on his forehead or in his hand, how to do tayammum? Again, here tayammum will be with jabira. Again, he will do masih of tayammum on his forehead above the plaster, or do masih on the hand, on the backside of the hand, again above the dressing. So wudu or tayammum can be on jabira. Same thing, ghusl can be on jabira. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.